Thank you everybody for joining us on our first earnings release after the flotation. We were pleased to present some pretty good results for our first quarter of 2017. We'll walk you through some of the highlights and then dive into the details of our numbers. I'm on page three of the presentation that is on our website. We have a quarter which has been marked by a good growth in profitability, with reported earnings of 34 million, more than double the reported earnings of last year. Clearly, reported earnings include the effect of the change in estimate in LPI, as well as some exceptional cost. In 2016, they did not include Magellan. If we look at on an adjusted basis, we report earnings of 22 million versus the 18 of last year if we had to include Magellan. This means that our earnings per share are over 2 euros per share versus the 0.90 of last year. Secondly, the business activity has been strong. Loans are up 11% year-on-year. We have increased our geographic diversification. Now the international business accounts for more than a quarter of our activity, and we have seen new business volume up 24% year-on-year as well. We keep maintaining a solid capital position with total capital ratio of 19.6%, despite having set aside for dividend distribution 22 million euros, which is the adjusted net income for the period. Our NPLs are stable with net NPLs of 0.5, and the cost of risk, which is flat compared to last year at 10 basis points annualized. This translates into a good dividend capacity. As I mentioned, we have 22 million of distributable dividends, implying 100% payout of adjusted earnings consistent with our capital, our dividend policy. Let me go through the details on page four of our earnings. As I mentioned, we report earnings of 34 million compared to the 15 million of the first quarter of 2016. The earnings include the impact of the step-up in the recovery of late payment interest from 40%-45% for 18 million, an extraordinary cost for the IPO for 1.7 million, plus 1.1 million for the stock option plan, which has been partially expensed in this quarter. We also have taken out from the earnings the negative P&L effect of the exchange rate movement on the loan that we have for the acquisition of Magellan. This is entirely offset by an increase in the valuation reserve for Magellan, so net comprehensive income, the two effects are actually zero, and that represents, it's a better way, we think, to represent the profitability of the business given the natural hedging that we have in place. Overall, if you look at the earnings of this year, we are at 22 million compared to the 18 million of last year if we had to include the Magellan numbers as well. Two things to point out. First, we have expensed entirely the resolution fund in this quarter. Last year, we actually expensed it in the second quarter, so that will be an impact we will not see in the next quarter. Also, clearly having bought Magellan, we also have the cost of the acquisition financing, which is 0.9 million for the quarter that has flown through the P&L as well. Overall, we think pretty good results. You see at the bottom of the page what it means in terms of earnings per share, and with 2 euros per share of earnings for the quarter, of which we have set aside as capital the extraordinary earnings, net of the extraordinary cost for 0.72, and the rest is available for dividend, which is equivalent to the entire amount of the earnings per share. Let me walk you through the P&L of the business in more detail, starting from page five. We had a good growth in net interest income. with +24% on an adjusted basis, again, including Magellan for last year and excluding the one-off effect of the LPI for this year. This translates into an increase in the interest income over loans annualized from 6.1% to 7%. Part of it, roughly 30-35 basis points, is due to the fact that we've actually moved from a 40 to 45% recognition of the LPI, which has an impact on an ongoing basis to our earnings recognition, and a good margin on the business that we have currently in our book. We also had good LPI collection, and it translated into a net banking income growth of 20%, as you can see at the bottom of the page. But let me also go through the two components of the net interest income, i.e., the interest income and the interest expense in the following pages. If we look at interest income separately on page 6, this has grown by around 20% year on year, driven by a higher stock of loans, which is 11% higher at the end of the quarter compared to last year, and improving margins due to the change in the LPI accounting, as well as good recovery for the LPIs. We cashed in about 33 million of LPIs this quarter versus 10 million of last year. Clearly, we don't collect 100% of the LPIs, so the over-recovery is only a portion of what we have collected. Importantly, our stock of LPIs has grown compared to the same period of last year by about 5%, so we keep adding on a like-for-like basis to the stock of LPI. This excludes Magellan because, as you know, in Magellan, we account to the LPIs on a quasi-cash basis. If we look at interest expenses on page 7, we have a decline in the cost of funding from 2.2 to 2%, and that's despite having raised at the beginning of March our Tier 2, which accounts for capital, but also in terms of cost, goes through the interest expense figure. We have also the cost of the acquisition financing for Magellan, which we didn't have in the previous year for 0.9 million. So overall, with a growth of average funding lines used from 1.7 billion, 1.9 billion to 2.3, the fact that the interest expenses moved from 9.4 to 9.8 indicates that we are actually continue to reduce our cost of funding at a good clip. We have reduced our rates offered on a 12-month online deposit in the quarter, as we have disclosed also through the IPO process, and that should have benefits while the deposits get rolled over by our customers, and we are continuing to refinance the Magellan funding. Worth noting also is that the refinancing of our 300 million 2014-2017 bond will happen in June. That's a bond which has an overall cost of over 3%, and so we will see the benefit of that only in the second part of the year. Going through our cost base, we have maintained a good cost-income ratio of around 34%. Actually, our overall cost structure, if you look on a quarter-by-quarter, has remained flat. Number of employees is actually stabilized in terms of growth. We actually had some efficiencies on the Magellan side and smaller addition in Italy. And that should translate then with better efficiency, we think, going forward. Moving on to the business dynamics and the balance sheet on page 9, we show good growth in terms of customer loans, double digit, plus 11% year on year, with a strong growth in Magellan, which is up 25%. That has translated into a bigger proportion of our business being done outside Italy, which is now counting 74% versus 78% last year if we had to combine the pharma factory and the Magellan business together, which at the time we didn't own. And importantly, it's the first time actually that at the end of the first quarter, our balance sheet is bigger than at the end of the year. You know that our business is quite seasonal, and the fact that we actually have now a more diversified business allows us to have less swings in our balance sheet, and we should benefit also our P&L. The growth in assets has been driven by also good performance in terms of new business. We sustained growth across our geographies, as you can see on page 10. We have grown at 24% year-on-year in terms of new business, so first quarter 2017 versus first quarter 2016, driven by a good growth in the Magellan businesses, plus 72%, with a strong performance, particularly in Poland and Slovakia, which shows the benefit of having for the Polish business more access to funding at a cheaper rate, which makes the business more competitive. And then a good growth also, if you want, in the traditional BFF business, in what is usually a pretty slow part of the year for our activity. You can see on page 11 the details of the growth in new volumes. Here we mean by new volumes is the purchases of receivables across the three geographies, with Italy growing at 3% year-on-year on what last year was a very strong first quarter, with importantly Spain and Portugal showing very healthy growth and demonstrating that the business in Iberia has a lot of potential to deliver further growth ahead. So it's a very pleasing start of the year for that business.
Regarding the funding, in page 12, we underlined that the diversified funding base that we have in our group to support the growth of our business. And from the first quarter of 2016, we increased the available funding for 1 billion, and now we have 3.2 billion euro of available funding, with a very good mix of deposit, wholesale funding, and bonds. And we have to underline that in March we issued the tier bond at 5.8% of coupon, and we have an increase in particularly also from the first quarter of 2016 the online online deposit for 74% of increase. At the end of March, it's important also to underline that we have an undrawn credit line, which gives us an ample room for our growth. And if we follow in the page 13, the structure of our balance sheet that is very strong and is maintaining a very very low risk profile. And in particular, it is important to underline that we increase our balance from the final previous years for 200 million euros. And the characteristic of our asset is that our counterpart is for 99% short-term and public sector related, and it's important also underline that the duration of our liabilities is longer than the duration of our assets, and for this reason we have a good sensitivity for a possibility increase of interest rates, in particularly because we can reprice our assets faster than our liabilities, and then we have an equity an age. We have a very important liquidity position, with a strong liquidity position in an LCR of 350% as of March 2017. And regarding the negligible credit risk that we can follow at page 14, we can see that we maintain a stable cost of risk in line with the full year 2016 in 10 basis point annualized, and also the NPL ratio is stable from the end of 2016 at 0.5%. Regarding the capital position at page 15, we underline a very strong capital position. Our total capital ratio, as underlined before by our CEO, is 19.6% at the end of March, and this ratio includes the impact of the reduction of Italian Republic rating by the EBRD in January 2016, and the impact also of the issue of Tier 2 that we mentioned before, March, for 98 million euro. And at the end of March, we include also in our regulatory capital the extraordinary part of the net income for 12.5 million euro, while the adjustment net income for 22 million highlight a strong dividend capacity for our group, in line with the disclosure of the prospectus that we have published for the quotation. We maintain a very strong capital position, despite our capital calculation is very conservative. In fact, we weight our business in Italy with the NHS at 100%. And this, I want also to highlight that the total capital ratio is well above our internal total capital target of 15%, and this excess capital of 50% means that the company can continue to have a 100 dividend payout until RWA grow by 30%. And in particular, it is important also underline that in 2017, Bank of Italy communicated the SREP requirement for our group with a total capital ratio of 40%, 10.7%, and we became applicable from June 2017.
So to summarize, the highlights of the quarter are a strong growth in profitability on a reported and adjusted basis, and you see in the appendix of the document we've shared also how that compare with the 87.6 million of adjusted income that we presented throughout the IPO process, because it's made on a like-for-like basis. We have good growth in our business across many geographies, and we think is a demonstration of the value of having diversified the business away from Italy, where we still see a lot of growth potential going forward, targeting the double-digit growth that we've indicated always as our aim for the future. We can do that because we have a very solid capital position, a very disciplined underwriting, which translates into a very limited cost of risk, and the ability to continue to grow our balance sheet at a significant pace while paying out, following our dividend policy, the entirety of our earnings as dividends. And we think this is on the path that we've indicated to the investors throughout the IPO process, and it's a good first stepstone for the growth ahead. Thank you.
We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your touchtone phone. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. To withdraw your question, please press star then two. The first question comes from Alvaro Serrano of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, guys. Just questions around the purchase volumes in the quarter. in Q4, I got the impression that probably the purchase volumes were not as strong as you might have expected, and some of your competitors, and I think you also mentioned as well that there was some large deals that slipped into Q1. Obviously, the balance sheet has grown. Can you give us a sense of the good volumes we've seen in Q1? How much of that could have been to this timing difference versus the underlying trend? And then in more detail, in Italy and in Spain, in Italy I've seen that what went particularly more has gone well, looks like, is healthcare. Purchase volumes are up very nicely year on year, but not so much public administration. I realize it's just one quarter, but given public administration is the growth area, maybe if you can give some color of the dynamics there. Similar in Spain, public administration or non-healthcare is what's driven the recovery there. If you can give us a sense as well there of what are the trends in Spain. Thank you.
Sure. I mean, last quarter, as we indicated previously, was affected by a lot of, it was part of this quarter, to be honest, a lot of volumes done by other factors on the private side, because this was actually the last quarter where TLTRO was in place. And therefore, there was a lot of activity on the private sector side, which means that customers living inside the healthcare system, people who supply mostly the healthcare system have tended to get very good deals from the private side and not transact as much on the public sector side. The healthcare volumes have grown nicely because there we have many more revolving contracts, and we have grown there with our customers and with the business, whereas in Italy, the rest of business has been impacted by this effect. So I would not read too much into the public administration reduction of new volumes year on year. It's often also due to the mix of our customers. In terms of Spain, we had good growth also in healthcare, but was from a very small base. We're quite pleased that we've been able to expand in the rest of the public administration. We see there as an area of further growth. Spain is going through a rethink of the FLA and how the central government will fund the regional expenditure and the payment to the suppliers, which could be positive for the business going forward. But more importantly, in Spain, it's really an opportunity to expand the market, expand our penetration of the market, which is to a large extent untouched. And the same in Portugal, albeit clearly from a small base, and business will remain always a small. So overall, good start of the year. As I said, it's not that we have seen volume shifting in the first quarter. There's been more this preference for customers to sell, often a very close to zero private sector exposure instead of selling public sector exposure, and that with the end of the TLTRO should actually disappear as an effect.
Thanks. And are you going to disclose DSO by quarters, or is it something that you'll do annually still?
No, we will do it annually as we've always done. We haven't seen any movement. Remember also, we don't observe the market, we observe what we buy, so that is a mixed effect. But overall, the performance has been as expected.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Val.
The next question comes from Anna Benassi of Kepler. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning. One of the questions is that in March, Italian banks have taken even more TLTROs than they took in December and September. So do you think that is going to have an impact on the Q2 and Q3 performance this year, following your comments about your clients preferring going for loans rather than factoring? The second question relates to the dividend policy. I see you applied 100% to the adjusted earnings. So that means we have to assume at least for the 18 million that is going to be applied for the full year, whatsoever the net profit will be this year. The third question is in what segment Magellan has grown mostly. So it's still in the private sector, is moving towards the public administration as such. What about the cost of risk of Magellan itself? We have seen a small increase, but still on a higher level it was before in Q1 versus the Q4, but I'm curious if most of that comes from Magellan, and what is your view on that in that area? Thank you.
Okay, let me go through the question. If I missed some of it, please re-ask. Factoring versus loans. What I meant was something different. It's not that companies went for loans instead of factoring. Is that because for the TLTRO what matters is the exposure that a bank has towards the private sector, incremental exposure, buying receivables that company has towards the private sector counts for the total of exposure to the private sector for a bank, and so actually it was beneficial for the Italian banks to buy more receivables at a very cheap price from customers on the private sector, because that would account for the TLTRO bucket. And so that effect, the substitution, if you want, of public sector receivable sale by the customer to private sector receivable sale from the customers to the factors should disappear once the TLTRO has gone. And so it's not been a substitute of the product. It's simply that a number of our customers, the ones that don't sell primarily to the private to the public sector, had that opportunity, for instance, utilities. And so we think that's going to go going forward as an effect. On adjusted earnings, what we have reported in terms of dividend capacity, exactly what we represented in the prospectus, there was the downgrade of Italy. We issued a Tier 2. We stepped up the estimate of collection of LPI. And we set aside the capital for coming from the one-off effect as capital. Clearly, it means that that capital is also used to further our growth, which means that from now on, 100% of the earnings that can be paid out, of the reported earnings can be paid out because we are beyond at least the 15% target level. So we've set aside 22 million, which is the extraordinary gain on the change in LPI, minus the extraordinary expenses for the IPO, which are now fully expensed, and that's what we will, if you want, set aside for dividends for this quarter, plus we will have what comes for the from the rest of the year, consistent with what we've disclosed in the prospectus. On the growth of Magellan and the provision level, we don't provide the growth by segment. In Magellan, the new business has grown more than 70% year on year. Slovakia, which is an identical business to the one we do in Italy, has almost doubled year on year to 22 million from 13, and MedFinance, which is actually the company that has more private sector exposure, was actually flat year on year. So in terms of exposures, we actually have a better mix in terms of risk profile than last year. On the level of provision for Magellan, Magellan has disclosed in a press release its level of provision. In euros, is 673,000 euros, and it's in line with our estimate, with our expectation. Sorry, I don't know if I've missed some of your questions because there were quite a few.
The next question comes from Simonetta Ciriotti of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yes. Good morning. On Magellan, this strong growth reflects in some way a change in strategy after your acquisition or a growth in the market. So I was wondering if it is possible to have more color on this point, and if possible to have a comment on a figure that it is in slide 6, the LPI cashed in that grew from 9.8 to 33.3, so quite a strong growth. Also on this point, if it is possible to have some more details on the drivers. Thank you.
Sure. Let me answer first the point about Magellan. The logic of partnering with Magellan was actually to help them grow faster because they were constrained, as we were before becoming a bank, in terms of how much finance they had available for their growth. And so what we are seeing here is actually the effect of giving them more fuel to grow. And we're quite pleased that they are able to do that with a good control of risk and a good profitability. If you look at their profitability year on year, this has actually grown substantially, and the effect of the growth of the balance sheet clearly will be reflected more in the following quarters. I think it's a good result for the group and testifies that the investment thesis, if you want, on adding Magellan to our business has played out well. As for the late payment interest, we had a good quarter in terms of collection. As you know, we don't disclose the recovery rate for the LPIs, but it has been in line with our experience last year. Clearly, the importance of the over-recovery on our P&L is diminished by the fact that we have moved from a 45% recovery rate, because that 5% is already recognized in the P&L, and so that should be taken into account. Our visibility for late payment interest depends on the agreements we have, but we still expect a good next quarter if things that we are closing come through. And then we'll see in the rest of the year how our negotiation with the debtor proceed.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Phil Dubin of Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Just interested to know what your thoughts are on pricing in Q1 and competition going throughout the rest of the year. Thanks very much.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't, clearly pricing in Q1 doesn't get much reflected in the numbers because our P&L is more a reflection of what we had at the end of the year than what we do in necessarily the first quarter. Overall, we haven't seen much more pressure in terms of pricing compared to last year, and so we are quite positive on our yield compared to our recent experience.
Thanks very much.
As a reminder, if you have a question, please press star then one. This concludes our question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to Massimiliano Belingheri for any closing remarks.
Well, thanks everybody for joining us today. It's really an event for the company, this first call after the IPO, and I look forward to continue the dialogue with you over the next months and years. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The conference is now concluded. Thank you for attending today's presentation. You may now disconnect.